Most humans are inherently good, and we need only remember this while looking into the darkness and seeking a better way to live. Join us each Saturday as we expose the nature of some of these problems in our world while exploring possible solutions to some of the more troubling and disturbing agendas which are coming more and more into the light as humanity is waking up. We can take back our power and realize that a minority of humanity, the powers that would be, are far outnumbered by those of us who are loving, caring, and remaining hopeful in spite of the widespread corruption and greed we see going on in our world. And welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread. And I'm your host, April, and just got a bit of a technical glitch going on here, but just throws the timing off a bit. But nevertheless, it's 3:01. And you're tuned to CKUW 95.9 live in Winnipeg. And I wanted to, I was excited, I reached, well, for some time now I've been hoping to have Max Egan on the show. He is the creator of thecrowhouse.com, as well as thefullcircleproject.net. If you wanted to do a search on that, it's thecrowhouse.com, all one word. And for many years, 9 or 10 years, I think, Max has been an activist. He's now a world speaker, a truth seeker, and truth speaker. And I know Max is not not one to brag about a bio or anything, but many people know of him now, and he's touring. He's in Holland, and he's on a speaking tour. And if you check out thecrowhouse.com, you will find all kinds of interesting things. But in the meantime, here's the interview that I did with Max Egan just a couple days ago.
Hi, April.
Oh, hi, Max. How are you doing?
Hey, Dawn. How are you? I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice again. I know last time we went to try to do this and it didn't work out timing-wise, but now you're in Holland?
That is correct. I'm in Holland. I'm in Haarlem, just near the coast.
Oh, wow. I'm not familiar with the lay of the land, but you've been all over the place.
Yeah, I have. I've been traveling a lot. It's been a bit of a grueling year, but all good. I'm okay. I'm having a bit of a relaxing time here, staying at a friend's place, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been, it's kind of full circle in a way, because I've been in touch with Louise Sutton. I've been meaning to have her on ever since I began my show, but it's never worked out that we've connected yet. So, and she says that you're going to be visiting or something. So.
Yeah, hoping to visit her soon. She's not too far from here. It's only about $30 to get down to where she is on a plane, so that's a good thing to do while I'm in the area.
So
I know she's been having a lot of internet trouble lately, so that's maybe why you haven't caught up with her.
Yeah, it's been the case that apparently it's just a bad spot she's in location-wise. But I was wondering, since we mentioned the Full Circle Project, if maybe we could go into that a bit. Describe for our listener what that's about.
Well, so the Full Circle Project is a mechanism that you can use to basically create an action group in your area. You know, everywhere I go, I meet people who have, you know, they're awake, but they don't have a support group around them. And this is so that you can find a support group around you, find like-minded people in your area and people that want to get motivated and form some sort of an action group and start taking action on the ground to address what's coming in your own respective community. Now, we've got to start this struggle really from the ground up. And, you know, we have to address what's happening on the ground all around us. That's what people are failing to do. They're looking, you know, always pointing the finger at the big areas of government and federal government and the global government and all this sort of stuff. And they're not paying attention to what's going on the ground around them. And around them are a lot of people who, many of them are very concerned as well, who would probably like to know there were other concerned individuals in the community. So that's what Full Circle Project is about. It's just a mechanism you can use to link people up and then get offline and start taking action in the real world, because that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I think I've said this before. That's kind of what I use Facebook for. It's like to contact people in the garden and stuff like that. And where are we going to meet at the Aboriginal Center and stuff like that, wherever the powwows are.
Yeah, well, you know, you find a lot of people, they just don't have this support group. And, you know, everywhere I go, I meet so many people who want one. And, you know, I think that there's probably people in their community, even if it's only one or two, that are just as awake as they are. And, you know, if you do a search on the Full Circle Project in the area, you usually find someone reasonably close. So that's what it's about, you know. We've got to get involved. We've got to get motivated and stop the clicktivism that we're involved in. I mean, it's good to do stuff online for sure. We've got to get involved in the real world as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had the good fortune to actually run into the woman who adopted me into the Thunderbird clan. She's from up north, and we're going to be checking on some land about 8 hours out of the city. So it's all just bush. So it would be a great time to reconnect with nature, because, you know, doing this all the time and being in the city all the time, and it gets to be overmuch after a while, and could just use a break, you know?
Well, absolutely. You know, I get that as well from being in the city a lot and just from traveling a lot. You know, aircraft, airports, it really takes it out of you. It's very, very draining. I'm looking forward to getting back to Peru. I spend a lot of time in Peru in the jungle, so I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to getting back to Australia, but that probably won't be till next year. So, yeah, it's good to do that. But again, you know, we've got to pay attention to what is happening in the cities and stop this grid from being rolled out, this control grid that's being rolled out, you know. You know, the governments are out of control, and we've got to turn and face them. You know, as much as it's good to build alternate communities and stuff, we've got to address what created the need to do that, which is the government itself. We can't turn our back on what these people are doing, because they're dragging the whole world to a very, very bad place, and there's not too many places that you can go, probably nowhere on this earth, that you're going to be able to escape from what they are building. So, you know, I think prevention is the best medicine, and we need to prevent this control grid from coming online, you know.
Yeah, I agree, and it's like somebody said in one of the community gardens to me when I was pointing out how dark things are at times, how they seem, and how much things are seemingly getting worse. You know, it's just people intoxicated and trying to escape from life and stuff like that. It can be like a zoo sometimes. But he says to me, well, what happens when all the good people leave? And it was a great point. I couldn't argue with it. What happens if all the good people do leave, you know? Then what do we have, you know?
Well, that's the thing, you know, if they do, then they'll all get picked off in small pockets, you know. The people that are in the city and caught up in the system, you know, many of them aren't bad people. They're just people that are misguided and caught into this grind and caught into this fictional reality. I mean, it's a program. So many people have been programmed. So they can't really blame people for the way they are and the way they, you know, do what the system wants and the way they bow to the system and operate within the parameters of the system. I mean, they've just been trained to do it. So, yeah, I mean, if all the good people leave, I mean, they're not going to all leave to one spot and create a new nation. They're going to be going off to little pockets, and these little pockets will get picked off. Because if you leave all the bad people and all the you know, unawake people in control of the mechanism, and that, unfortunately, that mechanism is found in the cities, in the populated areas, in the government buildings, you know, if you leave all the sleep people in there, then you're going to end up with the world going wherever it wants to go. And we're just going to get dragged along with it. No matter how far we think we are secluded from this society, we're still going to be included. We're still going to be dragged down the tube with everybody else. So yeah, it's a very, very complex system that's coming online, but it's an all-encompassing, very expansive system. And there, like I said, there really isn't anywhere you can go to escape from it. So people need to pay attention to what's happening around them and realize that it doesn't matter what band-aids we put on all this stuff and what alternate communities we build. If we don't address the problem that created this to begin with, then it's just going to keep continuing. You know, we've got to address the root core of the problem. You can't go putting band-aids on an open jugular vein. You've got to go and stitch the vein up, and that's what's not happening, you know. So we've got to start addressing things from their root core and stop putting band-aids on symptoms. You realize that all of these individual problems that we're facing are simply symptoms of the one major problem, which is systemic corruption and the fact that the world is run by a criminal class. Basically, that's what's going on.
Well, and consent by silence, right? Like we are in large degree responsible for the situation we're in, and we haven't yet stood up for ourselves.
Well, that's the thing. We haven't. We haven't stood up for ourselves, and we should. And until we do that, it's just going to continue. That's a very good point. I mean, that's the problem as well. We're always looking for leaders to come along and save us. We're not prepared to take action ourselves.
Yeah, so that was the first section of the interview with Max Egan, who is with the creator of thecrowhouse.com and also the FullCircleProject.net. And you can find his work also on YouTube under, I believe it's under the Crow House. The newer stuff is under thecrowhouse.com on YouTube. I will double check that, however. So moving on to the second part. This is Max Egan and myself in discussion just a couple days ago. So I wanted to ask you what your sense is in terms of wakefulness with people in general from your travels. I remember a few years back, you had gone to America, and I don't know if you had been there yet or not. At any rate, you had mentioned at that time that you were surprised that this cab driver was like totally aware of what was going on, and I'm wondering if your experience has sort of led you to any new conclusions or a new kind of awareness about where people are at with this waking up business.
That was actually a Dutch cab driver that I was referring to in that interview. But yeah, you know, there's degrees of wakefulness. There's people who are aware that there's something wrong, but they're not really awake to what the problem is. And so many people are just locked into this digital grid now. Like here in Holland, it's almost all digital. It's almost completely cashless. And everywhere you go, there's cashless supermarkets all over the place. I can't even use public transport if I want to use cash. You know, I can't buy a ticket at the train station. There's no one to sell me one. I have to buy it from a machine, and I have to put a credit card in the machine. If I don't have a credit card, well, I can't buy a ticket. It's as simple as that. And that's the way it's going. So even if there are people that are, you know, awake to the fact that there's government corruption, they're still getting immersed into this digital system. And it's this digital convenience system that is the New World Order itself. That's the control grid that they're using. You know, all these conveniences and this e-world that we're creating is the problem. That is the control grid. And it's an electromagnetic control grid, and it's coming online all around the world. And you know, even if people are awake, well, yeah, I mean, they're awake, like I said, to government corruption, but they're still using all of this stuff. They're still using their credit card to go shopping with. They're still buying smartphones and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I never use a credit card. I use it online to buy plane tickets, but that's a debit card anyway. I've got to put money in the account to use it. But I can't go out and go shopping with it because I never keep any money in the account. I only put money in there if I've got to buy a plane ticket. And so, you know, I force myself not to be able to have a debit card or a credit card. I just don't have one that works. So I will never comply to that. And it's people's compliance to this that is the problem, you know. If you're out there and you're complaining about the system and you're still using credit cards and you're still using all of this digital stuff, well, you know, why complain about it? Why complain about the system? Because that is the control grid. That's the control grid itself. And that's the way it's all going. It's all becoming digitized, and it's all becoming to a point where it's going to be controlled by AI. And once that happens, then it removes all humanity from the equation. All of your finances, you know, you open your car, you lock on your house, all this stuff becomes digital. And if you complain, they just switch you off. And you don't get to, you know, write to anybody and get any human interaction or get someone to look at it a little bit more humanitarianly, because it's not human. It's just AI, and it just does what it wants to do. It does what it wants to do to balance the books. And that's the way society is going. And, you know, there's not too many people that are awake to that. There's not too many people that actually want to face it. And even people who complain about the system want to continue to use all this technology. So, you know, until they can snap themselves out of that, well, I don't think there is much wakefulness at all, really. You know, it is awareness of a problem, but no willingness to apply any fixes to the problem. People would prefer, you know, someone like me or you or someone to just go and fix the problem, and they can get the newsletter and they can continue to use all this digital stuff, you know. it's just, you know, people can't see it, and they don't want to have to participate in any solutions. They want the solution to come along in a newsletter or a new politician that gets voted in. That's the problem, you know.
Yeah, well, this is such a good thing about having being unexpectedly invited up north is it just will give me a chance to shed everything and stop taking so many things for granted, I think. It'll, in large part, go a long way towards that. But speaking about control, when you were speaking there, I was wondering what do the airports look like in terms of that, like when you're going through them, especially in the international level?
Well, they're all becoming retinal scanners and stuff. I mean, when you get to Holland here, you've got a choice. If you've got an e-passport, you can go through the fast lane, or if you haven't, you can go through the area where there's 15 booths there to stamp your passports, but only two of them are open, so mm-hmm. It takes like 90 minutes to get through the line. So here's how they sort of push you into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is coming online in most of the airports. I've got all these full body scanners and stuff. I don't tend to do them. I tend to just go through a metal detector. And there's ways you can do that. I mean, you sweet talk them a little bit, and you can get through without getting a full body scan. So I tend to do that. But it's happening everywhere. I mean, it's just more and more gradual. And they're trying really, really desperately to push cash completely out of the equation. You know, on airlines, you can't use cash on airlines. A lot of the airlines, these cheap airlines, will have, you know, you've got to buy your food or buy a drink or, you know, buy, they don't have any entertainment on the planes anymore. You've got to hire a Palm Pilot or an iPad or whatever it is to plug into if you want to watch movies. And you can only pay for it with a credit card. They don't have any cash. I couldn't even pay for my luggage at one airport in Philadelphia. They wouldn't let me pay for my luggage with cash. I actually had to go to their temporary credit card machine and buy myself a temporary credit card and put money on it and then go and come back to the counter and pay for it with the card. You know? And I'm saying, well, why can't I just give you $25 cash and you pay for it with your card? I'll just give you the money and you do me a favor and pay for it for me, you know? They wouldn't do it. You've got to buy the card. You've got to do the digital thing. And they're just pushing you into it. So I basically told them I'd be boycotting their airline from that point on and telling other people to do the same. So, you know, this is the stand that people have to make. You've got to start boycotting all this stuff. In Australia, they're trying to bring in digital banks as well, removing tellers completely from the banks, so it's all done through the machine. So, you know, it's getting very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I've always seen Bitcoin as the stepping stone to the one. I saw it as part of the control mechanism when it first came out, that it's a step in the direction that they want to go with digital currency and nothing in your hand anymore.
Yeah, I wonder about Bitcoin. You know, it's the perfect cover for the introduction of a global currency. You know, it is unregulated, but then who knows? I mean, maybe it's the banks who started it. Who knows who started it? But you can, there are ATMs you can go and pull cash out and shop with cash. You can draw cash out of your Bitcoin accounts now, so that's one thing. Mm. But, I mean, I shop with cash anyway. I just do not use credit cards. I actually go into some of the supermarkets here in Holland, and I load up a full trolley and get up to the counter, and I make go through, and I let them check it all out. And then when I go to pay for it, they refuse payment because I haven't got a credit card. And I create a little bit of a scene at the counter and say, well, what's going on? You know, I'm from Australia. I don't have credit cards. You're depriving me of all my food. You're refusing to accept legal tender as payment. Is this legal? All sorts of stuff. So I do it just for the sake of it, just to wake the people up in the counter and just to wake the people up in the shop. And they ask me why I don't use credit cards, and I tell them it's because I refuse to support organized crime.
Exactly.
And they look at me like they say, that's a bit, what do you mean? You know, and I said, well, banking is organized crime. Banking and government supporting banking is organized crime. This is a digital slavery system, and I don't know how you people can be here in a so-called organic alternative supermarket supporting a digital slavery system. What are you doing? You know, and it kind of, you know, some people the penny drops, but if you don't go in and do that, you don't go in and confront these people, you just avoid the supermarket, then, you know, you're not helping them wake up to what they're involved in either. So, you know, I do this sort of stuff just to sort of wake people up a little bit and hopefully there'll be someone in the aisle or someone. Even if one person gets it, then it's worth doing. You know?
For sure. If even only one person hears this show, it'd be worth it if they got it. If you're just tuning in, this is CKUW 95.9 live in Winnipeg, and this is another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread. I'm your host, April, and we're listening to a conversation I had with Max Egan a couple days ago. And Max Egan is a musician, a filmmaker, a truth seeker, and truth speaker. And if you want to check out his work, you can do so at thegrowhouse.com. And also at thefullcircleproject.net. You can find his YouTube videos fairly easily. I believe you'll find his most recent works under The Crow House. And the older works are under a different name. But if you just type in Max Egan, I-G-A-N, in YouTube, you'll find tons of his work. He's been at it for quite some time. At least 10 years, anyway, that I'm aware of. So I want to move on to the third segment of the interview. And it's such a pleasure having him on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It's just getting people to think a little differently and encouraging them to stop complying with the system because, you know, it's our compliance with it that holds the whole thing up. If we stop complying with it, then it falls down. You know, we are everything for the system. You know, if we stay home, then the system fails. This is what I'm trying to encourage: a day of non-compliance on the 15th of every month. Just don't spend any money at all, and if you can, take a day off work. Just do nothing. Spend a day with your family, but certainly do not use your credit cards. Do not spend any money on the 15th of every month. That would be a start anyway. Maybe we can get the numbers and build it up to, you know, more days per month. Maybe we can build it up to total non-compliance to this system, because as soon as we do that, the whole system crashes and burns.
So if you're just joining us, this is another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread, and I'm on speaking with Max Egan. And Max, you have a website. It's The Crow House, right?
That's correct. Thecrowhouse.com is my website. You'll find everything about me there.
And you have films there too, right?
Yeah, I've got 6 films there. I've got hundreds of hours of radio shows. I've got, yeah, thousands of pages. There's probably 2,000 pages on that website now. It's building up all the time. It's a huge portal of information. There's nothing there to buy, nothing to subscribe to. Everything is free. It's just an information portal. So, yeah, go and check it out and share it with people.
Yeah, it was certainly instrumental in some of my earlier researches anyway. And I still return there to see what you're up to. And you also have likes there too, right? Some of the stuff that you're watching, like the Eric Braverman situation, things like that.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting bit of research that George Webb was doing into the Eric Braverman case and into the Hillary Clinton emails.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit misleading in some places. I mean, you've got to understand George is a Zionist. He's a Jew, and he points attention away from Israel all the time.
Right.
And it's just the way he does it, and that's understandable he'd do that. But you can kind of read between the lines. And what he's done is the expose he's done of Hillary Clinton is fantastic. It's a very, very thorough expose. And it wasn't just done by him. It was done by a whole bunch of people. So I've got about 29 or 30 days of research up there that is enough to alert people to the fact that Hillary Clinton has so much blood on her hands, it's ridiculous. But so I don't have the whole continuing saga up there. I think it's enough to know that the Clinton's involved and what their involvement is. And like I said, there's a certain amount of misdirection in some of the information. So yeah, you've got to take some of it with a grain of salt and realize that attention is being directed away from Israel as well, because Israel is heavily involved in what's going on in the Middle East, this whole war of terror, you know, what's going on in Syria, all of it. Israel's hands are on all of it, so it's important to remember that.
Yeah, and I'm up, when I get back from going up north, I'm going to be focusing more specifically on Israel. And problem is, we're in a sensitive area there, because people who have spoken out about Israel and the situation have been shut down. So I'm curious to see how it plays out, whether I get one show or two or three shows in. However it works, I'll take it as it comes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it tends to happen, but then they can't make it too obvious and shut too many people down and shut everybody down all the time. So, you know, you can usually get away with a little bit, and, you know, a little bit is sometimes enough to wake people up to what's really going on. So, you know, it's a fine line, but it's a line that has to be trodden.
Yeah.
Now, people should ask themselves, you know, I mean, the people you're not allowed to speak out against, this is always who controls you, so... It's very interesting how there are so many laws put in place to prevent any criticism of the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of what is happening with Gaza and whatnot, it seems to me I've been looking at like the possibility of two-state solution, one-state solution. I think one state is the way to go because I think things have gone so far down the road and deteriorated so far that I don't really think that the Palestinians are going to get any kind of equality or fair treatment. But if there was just one state, then everybody would be in one state and you could sort of deal with it that way, you know?
That's the way it always used to be before Israel was created. I mean, it was just Palestine and the Holy Land of Israel existed within Palestine and Jews lived there in peace. I mean, mm-hmm. It was fine. Until the state of Israel was created by Europeans.
Right.
We really have nothing to do with it. So, yeah, I mean, one state would be better. But, I mean, with the amount of atrocities that have happened against the Palestinian people, the utter brutalization and dehumanization these people have suffered for the last 70 years, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to reconcile living with Jews after what Jews have done to them.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
It's been a most horrendous apartheid situation, and... You know, every single Palestinian has a friend or a relative or someone who's been brutalized or jailed by Israel or murdered or martyred by Israel. So it's just a very, very bad situation now. And even the people in Israel, I mean, a lot of these people, they're born there, they belong there now, that's their home. I mean, what can you do? You can't just ask them to leave. And they're all programmed to hate Palestinians and believe Palestinians are just their enemies and they're dogs and animals and you must kill them all. So... A lot of this is from programming, so it's difficult to hate them because it isn't like they are conscious of this racism and conscious of what they're doing. It's just the program that they're running. It's a very, very complicated situation.
And a very intense one, too, I might add. I don't know if you have heard of the documentary called Five Broken Cameras?
It's a very, very intense situation.
Yeah, and the level of mistrust and fear that's generated, or I would say even perpetrated on the young Israel people, Israeli people, when they go to leave the state, you know, everybody's a suspect, you know, and it's that kind of fear-based ideology that.
It's a victim-based ideology which breeds that type of fear. It's the thing, you know, you're taught that you're a victim and that everybody wants to kill you and that you must defend yourself because as soon as you step outside this door, everybody wants to kill you, so you better kill them first.
Right.
That's the kind of mentality that is programmed into these people. They take them out on tours of the so-called death camps and all sorts of stuff. And there's a film out called Defamation. If you watch that, it shows how they are literally browbeaten into becoming a victim. If they don't buy into it, then they are terrorized and brutalized by their peers until they do. There's one girl is basically reduced to hiding under a staircase in tears because she doesn't feel so bad about what happened in World War II. And she is literally victimized and brutalized and browbeaten until she ends up hiding under a staircase, crying her eyes out, going, "Oh, I'm sorry, my poor people." You know, so this is the way it goes. It's an absolute program, and it's a brutal program, and it starts from preschool and goes until university graduation. You know, they carry the Bible around with them as a history book from when they're 4 or 5 years old. And the Bible is not an accurate history book. It's a religious tome. It's not a history book. But it's the only book that the Jewish people have any history in. So they carry it around as a history book, and it's... You think about it, when you've got that book and you totally believe that is the history of your people, I mean, there's no wonder that they're as messed up as they are.
Well, and it's also complicated by the the tenet that they are the chosen select of everyone else, like they're apart from everyone else in those texts.
Well, yeah, that's why they wrote it that way. I mean, ultimately, it was written by the Hebrews to exalt the Hebrews and enslave everybody else.
It's very strange, but I mean, it's very real. But it just takes a little bit of digging. It doesn't really take that much effort. Once you start looking, it kind of makes it it's so obvious after you're aware of it. And I feel sorry for some of the youth that are going through that over there.
Oh, I do too. I do. It's brutal. It's brutal programming and brutal brainwashing, you know. And the problem is that people don't have time to look into it. They don't have time to research. They're too caught up on running on the treadmill. And that's what this world is about, you know. That's why everyone's caught in this state of death slavery, because that way nobody's ever really got time to look at what's really going on around them. And that's the way the system's constructed. It's very effective, and that's what's happening. So even when you try to bring this information to people, very often they just don't have time to look, and they're too tired to look. They just want to sit down and relax and put their feet up and watch their favorite TV show and get up in the morning because they got to go to work. And that's the way it is. So it's all done by design, and it's all done to keep people distracted from what's going on around them and to prevent them from ever really discovering themselves, you know.
So I was going to ask... And welcome back. You're listening to another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread. I'm your host, April, and I just wanted to take a quick break here and let you know, well, the interview is with Max Egan, and it was recorded a couple days ago, and Max Egan is from Australia. He's a musician, filmmaker, and is on world tour or on tour in various parts of the world on a speaking engagement, and he's currently in Holland. Yeah, we just missed him. He was in Calgary, I think a week and a half ago or something like that. So I wanted to take a break and just go over an event or two here. The Social Planning Council of Winnipeg is having their annual general meeting and panel discussion called Displacement and Inclusion, Indigenous and Newcomer Perspectives. It's 2 years until their 100th anniversary, so they're asking for people to come out and see what they're up to and what's being planned and learn about their updated strategic plan. So June 15th, 2017 at 5:30, light refreshments, 6 o'clock annual general meeting, 6:45 presentation and discussion, and that is at Bridgman Collaborative, 678 Main Street at the corner of Higgins and Main. And I believe it's, yeah, today is the last day for our RSVP. I think you can probably I would suggest, if you're interested in this, to call 204-943-2561. That's 204-943-2561. It's the Social Planning Council of Winnipeg. I haven't heard much about them in quite some time, and I know that's the architecture building down at on Main Street at Higgins. And it is also wheelchair accessible. I'm just looking. Okay. Urban Shaman Contemporary Aboriginal Art in the Main Gallery. Traces is the name of the show. The curators, Becca Taylor, artist Tanya Lukin-Linklater, Dion Casas, and Jamie Black. Running dates at the gallery May 4th to June 10th. That's, today is June 10th. Urban Shaman Contemporary Aboriginal Art Gallery, 203-290 McDermott Avenue, The phone number is 204-942-2674. And I hope that they're open today. That's 204-942-2674. And you can check out more at www.urbanshaman.org. So that's just a couple of the events listed in the guide. If you want us to add your event to the guide, please drop by CKUW, email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. Our technical glitch is not allowing me to play the music. So I'm going to just let you know that it's 3:36 and the temperature is 25 degrees Celsius. And the wind is, it's a little bit windy, more than average, 32 kilometers an hour. It's quite windy, actually, in some spots. I see people leaning into the wind. So I want to get back to that interview. And we'll go right back to it. If you're just joining us, this is CKUW 95.9 live in Winnipeg. And this is another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread. And we're listening to a conversation I had with Max Egan just a couple days ago. So I was going to ask, you're working on a new film?
Yeah, I'm working on a film called Cacistocracy. I've got a film about the Amazon, which I've got in the back burner. I'm trying to get done as well. But there's one called Cacistocracy, which is kind of important that I want to get finished. It's part two of Transformation. And it's about the transhumanist grid, the control grid, the 5G grid, the nanotech vaccinations, all the stuff that the way where we're being led, this transhumanist night we're being led into. And it's very important that people address this because we've got a very, very small window to prevent it from happening. We've got 5 to 10 years to stop this happening. And if we don't address it in that time, then it's really going to be game over. And so much of this grid is being rolled out now, and it's being rolled out right under people's noses, and they're simply not paying attention. So I want to get this film out as quickly as I can and hopefully get some young kids involved in helping me do graphics and stuff so I can create stuff that's going to reach the young people and get their minds involved because they've got to see where they're being led. They're being led into a very, very dark place. And as I said, we've got a very short window to turn it around. So that's my main focus at the moment is working on the film Cacistocracy.
Yeah, I had caught a bit of an interview I think you did on the 5th in England. And you were saying in there, I think it was in that one, that Elon Musk has some design on nanotech and fetuses.
Well, they're talking about being able to inject fetuses or even newborn babies with a vaccine, in inverted commas, containing nanobots, which would put a mesh over their brain.
Okay.
And basically put them online, bring them online, so babies are born online, basically. You've got an active mesh, metallic nanomesh over your brain, and it picks up radio waves, and so, yeah, you're connected to the internet, basically.
Yeah.
And this would be terrible. This would be all thoughts monitored. This would be complete mind control from the moment that you're born.
And no consent. No consent.
Yeah, no consent and no choice in the matter. You're just born that way. You don't know any other reality. This would just destroy human creative potential. It would destroy individual input. It would destroy individual expression. You would be creating a race of robots and automatons. And this is a very, very insidious thing to be thinking about with the human race. How could you even be thinking this is a good thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking. It's something even beyond most people's idea of science fiction. And this is where we're going, and this is actually becoming quite possible. So this is something people need to look at. And when you look at everything else they're doing with the introduction of artificial sperm, the development of artificial eggs, now they can create humans from blank, basically, without needing even parents. They can genetically create whatever type of humans they want, whether they want a soldier or a scientist or a worker or whatever they want. and they can program that mentality into them, put a mesh over their brain, and basically control them for their whole lives. It's the perfect race of biological robots. And that's where we're being headed, and that's what the human race has been molded into. This isn't evolution. This isn't anything good. This isn't us being enhanced or improved through technology. It's a total hive mind control grid, and it's a really shocking reality that we are allowing to be created for our kids. And we've been pushed into it. I mean, even through the GM and the vaccinations and all the stuff that's working to completely destroy our reproductive system, so it's becoming necessary to have these artificial eggs and artificial sperm and ectogenesis chambers and all this stuff. So they're making it necessary. They're even saying that, Joe, like 50% of boys will be born autistic by like 2046 or something. So, you know, all through the vaccines and the GM food and everything. So this is where we're going, and this is where they're taking it, and people have to pay attention to it, because really it's this generation that has to stop it. If this generation doesn't pull the pin on this, then future generations aren't really going to have they're not going to have a reference point. They're not going to ever remember the way reality was. They're not going to remember what human freedom may have once looked like. You know, so you know, we've got to nip this in the bud before it happens. We really do.
Yeah, and the thing with the artificial human beings that they can make from artificial sperm and artificial eggs, they don't actually have the spark that the mother has. You can't actually reproduce what's going on inside the human body in the womb. Like how they do it, my understanding is they have to actually electrically shock it in order to induce self-automation, so to speak, for it to be a standalone entity. They have to actually introduce electricity at some point to make that birth feasible. So it's kind of like it's almost like a non-human birth. Like there's no...
Well, the Frankenstein monster, remember that? Shot yeah. That with electricity. It's the same sort of deal, really. I mean, it's you know, our need to become God or something. I mean, our need to create this AI reality. And when you think about it, the way they are creating AI and they're going to hand everything over to AI to control us. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous thing. It's a very, very dangerous reality for us to be immersing ourselves into. And these kids that are going to be born into it, imagine when you've got kids that are being born with this mesh over their brain, and there's none of our generation left. There's nobody left who isn't hooked up to this system, and the whole thing is run by AI. What sort of a world is that going to be? That is not human anymore. That is not, and that's not us evolving. That's us working for the machine, and the machine is working according to an economic model. It's judging everything by economics. So when it gets to the point where the AI can outperform the human, then the human gets discarded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the human race gets replaced by AI. And we'll think, oh, this is the next evolution of man. No, it's not man. It's AI. It's artificial intelligence. And it has nothing to do with man. Man will be left behind and will be thrown in the dustbin.
Yeah, the whole trend.
And this is the future that we are creating. Who would want to create this future whereby you're going to discard yourself?
Yeah,
and that's what's happening. You know?
The whole transhuman agenda is a trap, I believe. But I also believe that I think it's going to happen. I don't think it can be stopped.
Well, it can be stopped if people become aware enough about it and they start taking action to stop it. You know, people have to start taking action. They really do. Whatever action they can take, they have to take it. The first thing would be to get these ridiculous politicians out of power and to stop all these science programs that are going ahead, all these ridiculous projects that MIT and Google and everything is rolling out. See, that's the nightmare that people don't look at. They think that by voting people in and voting people out, it's going to change things. They don't realize that companies like Google, companies like, you know, Novartis and, you know, all these companies, these are the ones that are actually doing all this, Promise and Palantir and all of these people. This is where the real problem is coming from.
Yeah, and I don't know. The reason I say I don't believe it can be stopped is because I think they're even in secret or even privately, the people who can do it will do it, you know, even if it's only for their own ends.
Well, they will if people continue to use the software and to use the appliances and use the grid. Stop using the grid. Stop buying smartphones. Don't buy anything smart. If you buy a computer, if you buy a fridge that's got a computer in it, smash the computer out of it. Take it out. You know, if they bring a smart meter onto your home, smash it off the wall. Tell them you want an old meter. Don't comply with it.
Yeah.
Just don't comply with it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's compliance. It's the problem. People just say, oh, gee, there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, there is. You've got a hammer in the back shed. Go and smash it off the wall.
That's pretty basic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, get involved, folks. Don't let them walk onto your property and put it on your property. Say, if you come on here with this thing, I'm going to smash it off the wall before you get in your car, so there's no point putting it there.
Yeah.
There's no point putting it on the wall. I'm going to destroy it. And here's all the case studies to show all the damage it does to people. What the hell are you doing working for this company? You know, and if people want to, you know, push it, say, well, you're going to press charges against the politicians that are putting these laws in place because they're all in abusive office anyway. You know, you say, oh, look, oh, that's the law, is it? Okay, well, who wrote that law? I'd like to know who wrote that law so I can press charges against them, because that's not what we employ them to do. You know, people have got to get a little backbone and realize that these politicians and all this legislation they're writing, which allows all this, these are your employees, folks. You don't have to do what they say, but they're going to keep doing it until you complain about it.
Yeah.
So complain about it. Make some noise. Stop it happening. You know, you're human. You've got a backbone. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, at times it just seems that they're going to be playing their games and doing all these false flags and all this stuff until people do stand up. They're just seeing what they can get away with.
Oh, of course, they will. That's what they do. They just push you and push you and push you. And people will be oppressed as much as they, you know, will allow themselves to be repressed. And they'll keep pushing until you push back, and then they'll stop. And then they'll wait another year. Then they'll start pushing slowly again until you push back. You've got to be pushing back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Question authority. Every single thing they ask you to do, ask them why. Everything.
Yeah, exactly. So your film is going to be focusing on this kind of thing with transhumanism as an agenda. And,
well, transhumanism and the digital grid, the smart grid,
right.
Everything where we're being led, the chemtrails. I mean, it'll be a continuation of the last film that I made, which was called Transformation, which kind of showed where we were going. And, you know, everything that I said in that film has been proven completely correct by now. So it's time to put out another one. But that was 5 years ago that I put that film out. So I've been wanting to release another one for the last 2 or 3 years. It's just getting the time to do it. So, yeah, that's mainly what it's going to be about is this looming control grid and the need to pay attention to it and what we can hopefully do about it.
Yeah, as you say.
Yes, before I play the last part of that, I just wanted to thank you for tuning in today. If you're just joining us, it's CKUW 95.9 live in Winnipeg. And this has been another episode of Where Angels Fear to Tread. And I just wanted to say also that you can check us out online at ckuw.ca. If there's something you like, some music or any of these interviews, they do get archived. And there's news on the site and tons of stuff to look at. So, yeah, you can actually seek out the individual show, This Is Where Angels Fear to Tread, coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned, because it's Dave Ferguson with The Trip. I know he's always got something good cooking for your ears. And I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in, and I wanted to play the last part of the interview, and there should be just enough time. And so I will bid you a good day, and it's 25, 26 degrees out there, still sunny, just a little bit windy, so you might want to note that. Have a great day, folks, and here's the last part of that interview with Max Egan.
Yeah, as you say, I like to bring it back down to the fact that we can know all this stuff about, you know, what's happening at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, the control structure and the hierarchical nature of it, but it's only from the ground up that things are really going to permanently change.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Everyone wants to point the finger at everybody else. They want to say, oh, it's the Freemasons, it's the Jesuits, mm-hmm. it's the Jews, it's this, it's that. You know, it's this mythical, you know, shadowy force, the Illuminati, whatever it is that I'm pointing off there in the distance that I can't get to. It's not. It's what's happening on the ground around you is the problem. You know, and all of these things are put there just so that you'll think it's this big, powerful, shadowy hand that you can't do anything about.
Right.
When you've got all this stuff going on around you that you can deal with right now, you know, all of the stuff that's going on in your local community is being implemented by your local mayor and your local council. Go talk to those people. You know, tell them that you're not going to be putting up with this. Rally your community and get your community aware of what's going on with this 5G weapons system that they're putting around the place, because that's what it is. This whole 5G network they're rolling out is essentially a weapons system. It's a military-grade communication system that can... 5G is what they use for the microwave cannons. They're putting these boxes all around town, and they're putting them down at street level. This isn't a communication system. This is a weapons system. Mm. This is a digital prison. This is an electromagnetic prison that they're putting in place right throughout our community. And so alert people to the fact that this is going on. And if you see these 5G boxes out there, I would suggest you go out and disable them in some way. That would be a good thing for your community. So, you know, it's our compliance with this. Realize that this is a battle going on. This is a war going on. They're putting a digital piece of equipment in your area. They're putting a weapon system near your house so they can use to give you skin cancer, give you heart attacks, take control of your vehicle, all sorts of stuff. Are you just going to allow this? It's going to allow it to happen because, oh, gee, I can't do anything because the council put it there. Are you serious? Mm-hmm. These people are your employees, and you're letting them put a weapon system around your home. What for? Why are people putting up with this? You know, people have to become aware of it, and they've got to start taking action against it. And if some sociopath has written down on paper that you can't do anything about it, then find out who that was and have them removed from office and charged with abuse of office. This is not what you employ them to do.
Yeah, I
think we employ these people to manage infrastructure, not to put electronic weapon systems around our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I think far too often we forget that these people are our employees. We're their bosses.
It's insanely frustrating for me, April. It really is. And, mm-hmm. and this is the attitude that I say to people. I say, oh, gee, that's a bit extremist. And I go, well, you know, they're putting an electronic weapon system in your neighborhood. You don't think that's a bit extreme? You know, you can call me extreme because I point out that this is happening, but you don't think that's extreme. You're just going to sit there and let them do it, and then in 5 or 10 years when they switch it on and you sit there in this electromagnetic digital prison, you're going to go, oh, gee, that's not nice. What can I do about it now? Nothing. You can't do anything about it because you allowed them to put it in place. You didn't stop it while it was being rolled out.
It's also...
So sat there and watched it. Now there's nothing you can do, so... You know, people have to start paying attention and get involved and realize what's happening. You know, that people are building their own prison around them. And once it all gets switched on, then it's all going to be run by AI, and there's not going to be very much you can do about it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, with the control of the food and sustainable development, that's a program that's been rolled out in at a local level. So we can affect change regarding, you know, sustainable development. And that's not a good word. That's a dirty word.
No, they take all the good words and they turn them into dirty words, don't yeah. they? You know, it's good that we do have sustainable stuff, but, you know, when you look at sustainable development, they co-opt it all and they make it mean the opposite of what it is supposed to mean. You know, what they're talking about is a sustainable people farm that functions nice and smoothly. You know, that's what they're talking about. It's not anything that's good for us. It's not about sustaining nature or sustaining society or doing anything, you know, green or friendly. It's just about sustaining control and sustaining the turnover of goods, basically. It's a people farm. We're living in a people farm, and that's what that's all about. And if you relate it to a people farm, it makes perfect sense that they're doing it that way.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that, what's it called, Animal Farm?
Yeah. A little bit like that, a little bit like that. But it's a people farm we're living in. I mean, we're given all these toys to appease ourselves with, but really it's just a people farm. You know, that's what we've got. And not only that, but, you know, people are being harvested as well. You know, the amount of child trafficking and human slavery that goes on in this world is outrageous. And it's a people farm. Organ trafficking, organ harvesting, pedophilia. I mean, it's rampant. And all of our politicians and high-level police officers and judges are all involved in it. So... That's another thing. I mean, these are the people you're asking to change things for you. These are the people that are rolling out this digital grid. So, you know, it's a world that's run by criminals, and it continues because we just don't have the backbone to call it. And even when we do, we want someone else to come along and fix it. Gee, the world is run by criminals. Someone should do something about it.
Right.
That's basically our attitude. You know, we're not prepared to do anything about it ourselves, and we need to.
Yeah, so what is next for you? You're still doing a speaking tour?
Yeah, I'm still doing the speaking tour. This is going to be over soon. I've got to I've got a little bit of traveling to do now. I've got to go down to Spain probably next week, and then I've got to go probably back to the United States for a month or two, and then I've got to come back to Denmark, and then back to Peru, and then back to Hawaii for combo workshops. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to do between now and the end of the year, but I'm even thinking I'd like to cut all this short and just get home and make the film. So I'll see what happens with it, but yeah, I'll be here for probably another week in Holland, and then down to Spain, and then I've got to get out of Europe, because you can only stay here for 3 months and you have to leave for 3 months. So I can't kind of stay here and then come back in September if I don't leave this month. So I've got to kind of do that. It's a real drag the way they do that in Europe. But, yeah, that's the way, that's what I've got to do. So I'm a little bit sort of up in the air at the moment, just kind of bumping around for the next couple of months, working on the film at every opportunity I get, mainly working on the script and the soundtrack at the moment, trying to get 3D motion graphics and engineers and stuff involved to help me out with some of the scenes I want to do. But that's basically what my focus is at the moment. It's really good having a little bit of time off here in Holland and just being able to, you know, work on the film without doing too much and without doing any traveling. Still doing the weekly radio shows, and that's about it at the moment.
I always think of Holland as a beautiful place.
Well, it is. It's lovely. It's very cold at the moment, but it's a lovely place. I mean, it's, you know, old architecture, and
yeah,
it's an interesting sort of a place. It's all below the water table. You know, Holland's all sort of 10 feet below sea level, so it's an interesting place to build a country. But yeah, it's a nice place. It is. There's some beautiful architecture here, some beautiful old buildings.
Well, and what I like about the culture is that it's largely water-based, so that people have learned how to negotiate and like there's a different sense of society happening.
Well, it has to be water-based because, as I said, it's 10 feet below sea level. So
yeah, but people have
mammals
learned
all through it. So that'd be an interesting way if you really wanted to take out Holland in a world war. Or if you do, would hit it with one EMP pulse and take out the pumping system, and the whole place would be 10 feet underwater within 24 hours. So it's an interesting place to build a country. It really is. But yeah, there's canals everywhere because it kind of has to be.
But what I was trying to point to is the fact that because people have, people need water and they had to control it, they also learned how to negotiate with each other effectively, you know?
Well, yeah, there's no fear of water here. There's no fences between you and the canals or anything, not like in England, in the nanny state of England, you know, there'd be a big fence there saying, oh, big canal here, don't walk in the water, you know. But here, it's all, everybody's happy with it, it's all comfortable, it's just there, you know, so. Yeah, people are pretty used to it. It's a beautiful place, though. It's a beautiful country. Beautiful people. Really friendly people. Really, really nice people in Holland. I don't ever meet any bad people when I'm here.
Yeah, I've always seen them as a bit ahead, socially speaking. I would like to thank you for coming on the show again. I'm glad we got to have this conversation. Is there anything you'd like to leave off with?
Look, I just want people to be aware of what's going on. Be careful of what rabbit holes are being led down and trapped down, and be careful what arguments they're being drawn into. We really need some unity at the moment, and we really need some focus against this system. We've got a time of enormous opportunity, but if we don't take this opportunity, then we're going to be lost. So let's get a little bit friendly with each other. Let's get a little bit of focus. Let's get a little bit of respect. Let's agree to disagree on small issues, and let's turn and face the system. So that's what I'd like to see people do. I really want to see people get involved and share information. And my website is thecrowhouse.com. It's got a wealth of information on it for you to share. Go and check it out. If you want to contact me, you can contact me there. And all my YouTube channels, everything, it's all available through thecrowhouse.com. So, yeah, thank you for asking me on the show, April.
Yeah, and it's been a great talk. Thanks a lot. And have a safe journey, Max.
You too, darling. Take care.
Speak again soon, I hope. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.